Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
And welcome to the Lord's House. Father, today we ask your blessing, we ask your anointing upon the word as it goes forth today. Father, put the words in my mouth that you would have me to speak, for I ask it right now in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Recently, in fact, just actually a few days ago from the time that we're recording this message, we celebrated in the church Pentecost Sunday. And of course, within the Pentecostal and Charismatic churches throughout the world, Pentecost Sunday has a special meaning because that's the day that we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples in the upper room close to 2,000 years ago. And it was quite an event. And I was beginning to think the other day that as we celebrate this, we have some factors that, as you read in the King James, the Holy Ghost, and others translated Holy Spirit, and wanted to kind of clarify something there. If you go back within the Hebrew, the word that is used, ruach, in the Hebrew, it means wind, spirit, or breath. And so rightly, it could be translated the holy wind or the holy breath went forth upon them within the Greek. The word is pneuma, which means breath, wind, or spirit. So likewise, you can translate the same way. And I was looking back because there's talking about a wind that came from God all the way back even into the book of Exodus, where it says in Exodus chapter 14, verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind that made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. A God-sent wind that divided the sea from the dry land, or made the sea dry land, and held the waters back until approximately, and we have no idea of the exact number, but people who studied this and scholars of ancient Israel believe that this could have been as many as 5 million, possibly even a few more, people that went across this sea on dry land as the waters were divided. Then in Numbers, it talks also about another event, Numbers chapter 11, verse 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And so here another wind blew the quails in from the sea. And quite honestly, I have no idea at this point how far they were from the sea, but it was an event that was divine in nature, and it was sent from God, this holy wind that blew the quails in. In John, then, chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, Jesus speaking here says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hast heard the sound thereof, but cannot tell from whence it came, whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And again, that word spirit there in the Greek is Hebrew, is a pneuma, which can be also translated breath, wind, or spirit. So Jesus has talked about this. The Old Testament talks about events that took place that was divine in nature, that was God sent, that caused a holy wind to blow. And Jesus has told his disciples that they are to wait in Jerusalem, and not many days hence that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, or as it translates in the King James Version, the Holy Ghost. And you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost is what it says. And they are to wait there. Now, not many days hence, we're told that he ascended back into the heavens on the 40th day. So 10 days later, they were in the upper room. They were seeking God. They'd been probably praying all night. And it's around probably 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning at the latest. And suddenly, it tells us in Acts chapter, well, let's just start with Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and the day fully came at 6 o'clock in the morning. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And I want you to take nature. They were in one accord. They were in agreement. And they were gathered together in one place. And then in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This event took place almost 2,000 years ago. It was in many people's mind the birthday of the church, the day that the church as we know it today was born in that event, because Peter had those that were gathered there went down from the upper room, and they met those out on the street, and these people are still speaking in other tongues as they're going out into the public there, and people are amazed because one is saying to another, I hear him speaking in my own language. Because you've got to remember here at this event, this time, this day, there were many who were proselyte Jews that had gathered together in Jerusalem for the event, this day of Pentecost event that took place, and they're gathered there and they're hearing in their own language these men speaking to them. And as a crowd gathers, of course, some said, well, these men are drunk, they're acting like this. And Peter then begins his message and tells them that these men are not drunken as ye suppose, but they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And he begins to preach a message that reaches out, and 3,000 souls are added to the church that day. Probably one of the biggest events as far as salvation numbers that's been recorded throughout the Bible history. And I know that we have great meetings today where thousands and thousands, 10, 20, 30,000 people may show up, but still to have a number like that of genuine salvations occur is a fantastic amount that took place in that day. And of course we read about in the New Testament, as Paul writes, as Peter writes, as some of the other apostles write the books of the New Testament, as it is given to them under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to write these words. And they talk about the events that take place and how the Holy Spirit moved, and how the Holy Spirit moved upon people in various events as it affected their lives. And we talk about all these things, the healings, the miracles, and all the other events that took place after the day of Pentecost in the early church. And then we go into church history. And then suddenly something seems to get lost. We go through the period in history known as the Dark Ages, where there's not really a lot recorded out there, and there is no biblical history of what takes place. We've got to remember that after John the Revelator wrote the book of Revelations, the last book added to the New Testament, that there was no written word that came from God at that time that was considered to be holy writ and was not part of what we know as the Bible. And as these people are listening, or as we're going through history here, we find the people, but the word is not being shared with them. We've got to remember in the early church, as they were anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit, by this holy wind that breathed upon them, this holy breath, and they went out and they risked their lives, they gave their lives even, to preach the message of the salvation of Jesus Christ, and the events that God was wanting them to speak as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And as they went forth, but then after a couple of hundred years, it seems like it begins to die down, and man steps in and takes control. And the church, for hundreds of years, came under the influence of man more so than the influence of the Holy Spirit. So we hear throughout history of occasions popping up where the Holy Spirit begins to move in the lives of people. And some groups, even some groups today, deny that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that the move of the Holy Spirit is for those that are living today, that it all ceased when the last of the apostles, which would have been John, died. That at that point, that move of the Holy Spirit ceased to exist. But yet we find out that there were brief pop-ups, you might say, throughout history of events where there was outpourings of the Holy Spirit. And we saw the events that took place as it did in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. We see those events beginning to take place and happening primarily in Europe. And then later on we had a few after the colonization of the Americas. And we see a few events maybe taking place in the Americas throughout that time. But then, just not quite 100 years ago, or actually I take that back, just a little over 100 years ago, we have an event that is known throughout Pentecostal and charismatic circles as the Azusa Street Revival, where again there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that took place and has fed even that which is happening in our world today through the moving of the Holy Spirit. But we want to find out, as you go back and search in church history, you find out, even though this is the event that is recognized as the birth of the Holy movement of the Holy Spirit within our lifetimes, or within these last hundred plus years, there were other events that were isolated that took place throughout the Americas and throughout Europe, where the Holy Spirit began to move upon people. And we saw the events that were described in the book of Acts beginning to take place and happening there. But this event that took place on Azusa Street, and I have a message that's available in our library, and I don't recall the title of it right offhand, but it talks about the Azusa Street Revival. And I believe I preached that message on the anniversary of the Azusa Street Revival when it was 100 years old. But a young black man by the name of William Seymour, who quite honestly at that time, the odds were stacked against him. He had something wrong with him, and I don't recall what his particular physical problem was. That was against him. The fact that he was a black man, that was against him. Other events were against him. But he began to preach in a little church down on Azusa Street in Los Angeles, California. And there began to move through the Holy Spirit upon that revival that was taking place there. And they had a rebirth, you might say, of the moving of the Holy Spirit in our day and age that took place and still exists to this day as God began to move through the Holy Spirit. Souls were saved. People were healed. Miracles took place throughout the life. I remember mentioning in that message I preached several years ago on the birthday of the Azusa Street Revival, that there were people that were calling into the fire department. There's this building on fire, and the fire department would get there, and there was no physical fire, but it was such a move of the Holy Spirit. People were actually seeing manifestations, and that's recorded actually in history there as to that taking place on the Azusa Street Revival. And we had kind of some ups and downs of it. And then I remember in the 50s and the 60s, there was the move of the Holy Spirit that took place, revival taking place in the Americas, people being filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the birth of the charismatic movement, which took place in churches that normally didn't accept the moving of the Holy Spirit. Some of them maybe even being those that had taught that it had ceased with the death of John the Revelator. And that move began to take place, and we had new organizations formed and born in the 50s, such as Calvary Chapel, for example, and others that began to preach the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I remember attending revival meetings during that time in the 50s, 60s, and early 70s, where that you could walk in and you could just feel that move of the Holy Spirit as it took place. And I remember in services where the evangelist or the preacher might call someone down, and as they were walking down the aisle, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were slain in the Spirit, fell out flat on the floor, no one having ever touched them. And I know over the years we've talked about, and some people have said, well, and that Holy Ghost stuff, when they reach out like that, they shove them down. And I'll be quite honest with you, I've seen that done, that they actually put so much pressure on the person's head that they forced them to fall down. And I'm totally against doing it that way. And when I pray for people, I gently normally touch them with just two or three fingers on the forehead, and no pressure put on their forehead, because I want anything that happens to be of the Holy Spirit. But I remember events where such things happen, and I know I've mentioned it in messages before, that we were in one revival meeting where the evangelist had us all line up across the front of the auditorium, and this auditorium particularly seated about 1,000 people, so it was fairly wide, and we lined across the front, and he began to pray for one person, and they were slain in the Spirit. And as they were slain in the Spirit, this entire row of people that were lined across the front were slain in the Spirit. And I know some of you that are listening may not know what that's all about, but I want you to know it's an event that when it takes place, it will change your life. God begins to move. I want to go back a little bit in my history, because at the age of, I believe I was 13 years old at the time, I was raised in church. I was raised in a Pentecostal church. I knew about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I knew about speaking in tongues. I had witnessed all these things. I knew about healings. But the day came that I got up and went down to an altar at the age of 13 and gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. And that very night, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I began to speak in other tongues. And I've told people over and over again that there are a couple of hours of my life that I don't know where I was at. I have no recollection of anything that went on around me. I do know that I had kneeled at an altar in one place, and I do know that when I came back down, I was in another place in the building. I don't know what all happened that night, but I was in heavenly places in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes upon us. We begin to have things that begin to happen in our life as God begins to move in our life. And unfortunately, here in America, we're living in a day when we're not seeing the move of the Holy Spirit the way I personally would like to see the move take place. I realize that people are talking about revival throughout the world in various places, and there may be some folks that listen to this message on the internet that are living in one of these places where you're having a move of the Holy Spirit, and you may not quite understand why I'm preaching this message. But in America and in many parts of the world today, we are not seeing that move of the Holy Spirit that we witnessed, many of us personally in our own lives, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. My wife and I, when we were dating, we met at a church at a revival. We courted, we dated, going to revival meetings and going to church, and most of our dates, I would say 75 to 80% of our dates involved going to church. We got married. I got drafted and was sent away to Germany for a little over a year. And one of the things that we looked forward to was coming back where we could go to church and enjoy the move of the Holy Spirit the way we had when I got sent to Germany. We were quite disappointed when we came back and found out that that move was not taking place. We did attend a church where that move was taking place and was part of that church for several years. And some of the evangelists that were associated with it, church pastor by Reverend Walter Bedard, and we had great meetings there in that church and great moves of the Holy Spirit. But as a whole, we have watched the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit not manifesting in people's lives today in the church in America. And that saddens me. I long for the day, I pray for the day, that we will have a great move of the Holy Spirit within a church in America today, the church throughout the world, as they did on the day of Pentecost. Many preach and teach, myself included, that we're living in the last days, that Jesus could rapture the church out of this place anytime. There is nothing required in Scripture, nothing required prophetically to take place that would prevent that event from taking place at any moment. But I would like to see a move of the Holy Spirit, not only in the church in America, but in the church throughout the world, a new revival taking place where we have all of these things, one last great push before Jesus raptures the church out of this world. I've taught over the years that I believe that he was coming back for a glorious church. And there's a scripture in there, and I can't tell you where it's at right offhand, that talks about the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. An evangelist by the name of Bud Chambers, I believe, is the one who wrote the song, The Glorious Church. And we used to play his record quite a bit on our broadcast years ago. And I believe that Jesus is coming for a glorious church, a church without spot or wrinkle, that's washed in the blood of the Lamb, that is following God's word, that is doing what God speaks unto their hearts to do through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But yet we look around in the church world today and we see so much taking place that is not a move of God, but a move of man. It's a move of self-betterment, of self-improvement, of doing this or doing that. And yes, God wants us to be involved in the people around us. He wants us to be involved in what's going on around us. And there's nothing wrong with reaching out to your neighbors. But when the church strictly comes to being how you can self-improve, what you can do to improve yourself, and what you can do to invest in this or invest in that or send somebody money, or what you can do for this, that, or the other, instead of letting the Holy Spirit begin to move in your life. Because let me tell you this, when the Holy Spirit begins to move in your life, yourself is going to improve. When the Holy Spirit begins to move in your life, the situations in your life are going to improve. There is going to be something that transpires in your life when that holy wind, that holy breath, that Holy Spirit begins to move upon you. It is going to change your life and make your life different than it's ever been before. And I know that there are those that are listening that have never experienced this. And you may be attending a church that calls itself Pentecostal or calls itself charismatic. And some people probably not going to like what I'm fixing to say here, but some churches believe strictly that you're having a move of God, a move of the Holy Spirit, if everybody jumps up and down during the entire song service. Well, I've got news. I've seen clips from rock concerts on TV, and I see them jumping up and down all the time. And quite frankly, from what goes on there, I do not see that to be a move of the Holy Spirit in the rock concert. I know that sometimes when the Holy Spirit begins to move upon you, you may jump. But it doesn't stop and start to the cues that man gives. When the Holy Spirit begins to move and you let the Holy Spirit move in your life, man's cues don't prompt you what to do. God's cues prompt you what to do. God motivates you what to do through the Holy Spirit. Oh, I remember times in the moving of the Holy Spirit where church would start at maybe 7 o'clock on an evening service. And if you got out of there by midnight, you were probably getting out early. And yet you got up, went to work the next morning. You went back to church that night. And now it seems like the best we can do is maybe have 2 services a week. If we have a revival, it's maybe 2 or 3 nights and that's it. We just do not dedicate our lives to Jesus Christ the way that we should. We are not dedicating ourselves to God the way we should. And I have to point the finger back at me because I don't go as much as I really should go anymore. And I could always say, okay, well, I'm getting older and sometimes I have a few things that affect my life that keep me from going. And I know there are people that have physical problems that keep them from going. And there are people that may have to work or whatever that may keep them from going. But I want you to know, we need to be in the house of God. And we need to be going to a place where there is a move of God. We need that move of God in our life. We need that outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our life today. And if you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, first of all, I want you to know that He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to be your Lord and Savior. And you can accept Him simply by asking Him to come into your heart and life today. Won't you do that today? Just simply say, Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. Would you come into my heart and life today? Would you save my soul? I ask you into my life today in Jesus' name. Amen. And maybe you're listening to me today and you're a Christian, but you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. Now's the time. Find that place where you can get along with God for a period of time and ask Him to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Ghost anointing come upon your life. Won't you do that today? You'll never regret it. And if you've been blessed by today's message, would you please let us know? The announcer's going to tell you how in just a moment.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.